What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 3rd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. By the way, if you don't know, we sell these shirts. They are baseball shirts. It's all in Pride colors. It is June. It is Pride Month. And if you don't know, we actually donate all of the proceeds of that shirt to the Human Rights Campaign. So definitely go and get yourself a shirt now. We don't make a dime on any of these. We don't even put our branding of PitcherList on it. I think it's just an important shirt for anyone to wear. And I've been giving it out to a lot of my friends who don't really follow baseball, but they just love that shirt, right? It doesn't have, you know, you didn't know any fantasy stats or anything else. It just says, hey, look, everybody is welcome here to enjoy this sport. And anyone who wants to argue with me that, oh, we don't need to do that. Oh, you're exactly the reason why we do need to do it, okay? So anyone that wants to go get those, we have them in men's, women's, and toddler sizes. Go get those, and I love making that donation to the Human Rights Campaign at the end of every year of all the sales that we've made with those shirts. All right, we have Aaron Civale as our lead yesterday, AC powered. As he went 5.1 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts in Cincinnati against the Reds. He had a tough first frame and then settled down a bit. Long story short, he's a Toby. I've been waiting for his slider and his curveball to get into action, and it did a bit in this one. 18% usage on the curveball. He had 4 of his 5 strikeouts with that curve. Saved him a little bit in that first inning, too. But really, this is still just cutters doing whatever they can over the plate and hoping to get outs with them, enough called strikes. Sinkers are fine. I don't really like the four-seamer either. It was a really low strike rate on that pitch here, too. And he's a Toby. He will get Atlanta next. I don't feel like you need to start him there. You don't need to pick him up to save him for the schedule after, which is the Cardinals, Twins, and Rocky Road. The only one I really love there is Rocky Road in your 15-teamers. Sure, Cardinals and Twins, too. But I really don't think that Civale is the guy that you're going to be thanking for your successful summer. He's just fine. He's a Toby. Logan Webb, ace is going to ace with King Cole at 34% CSW. The usage of the sweeper to lefties is always so weird for me with Logan Webb because he has a changeup that is elite, and yet 34% usage of sweepers is bonkers to me. Yeah, like 20% usage of changeups. I don't get it. It works, so I'm happy, and I'm not going to think more about it. I just think it's kind of interesting considering how good the changeup is, and okay, it should normally not be good. Opposite handed batters. Whatever. Steven Kolek against the Giants. 5.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. He threw strikes, and Koufax was there to help, and that's cool. 22 called strikes versus 6 whiffs generally means, oh, cool, not sustainable. And that's, yeah, that is the way here for Kolek. Whenever you see pitchers hyper-reliant on called strikes for their higher CSW, that was 29% here, that is less sustainable than swinging strikes. It makes sense. Called strikes are just guys being passive, while swing strikes are when they try to hit it and they fail, right? It's a tougher skill to master. I don't really want to go for Kolek, and I think that you are better off trying to go after other Tobies or just higher upside things. In your 15-teamers or your NL only, it's possible you can sneak in some of these decent ones because he does give himself an opportunity with how many strikes he does throw with his sinker and his cutter and his slider. But I don't really think he manages the edges well. So I would not be going for Steven Kolek. Paul Blackburn, oh my gosh. He came back from the IL. We knew it would be a limited pitch count in some way. He's getting the Dodgers. This is the most obvious still ill ever, and he went 5 innings of 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. That is a gold star. My gosh. Wow. I just want to, you know, put him up on a pedestal in front of the whole school and then just plaster that star onto his chest as he looks up and hears a whole stadium or the atrium, whatever it is, just celebrate. Because this was insane. What he did is he faced a lot of lefties and had a really good feel for his cutter up and in while then pairing it with the changeup and the curve down and away. Against righties, he didn't really get too many of them. He threw some sliders and he threw some sinkers and whatever, fine. But that pitch separation was cool. And I applaud that. I still think he had a little bit of luck here, but that was fun. And he got 6 out of 6 outs on balls in play on that changeup. It was down away. It was well located. He didn't just float these over the plate. Like if Paul Blackburn, who has had a history of moments in rhythm and locating well, if he does that constantly, yeah, he can be productive like this. And he goes into Coors next. 15 teamers, I think that's okay. 12 teamers, I don't know. The ceiling here is not very high. And yes, the feel of this was great. It might be a little different. You go into Coors, the air is changing. It's becoming tougher as well as it's getting hotter in Coors. I think also the Colorado Rockies players are more adjusted to Coors now that they've played more than, you know, a month or two inside of it. And it just doesn't seem like enough to chase in your 12-teamer. But maybe this is the beginning of a Vargas rule for Paul Blackburn, and that's cool too. Just focus on that cutter, changeup, and curve command if he's really getting those opposite corners down pat. You have Jack Flaherty against the White Sox. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. We're happy with that. That's fine. It's not amazing. You know, the strikeout's a little bit low, 4 Ks. And yeah, there was some blaming on the White Sox. Why? Because the slider went 1 for 24 whiffs with just a 17% CSW. The four-seamer had a ton of called strikes over the plate, and they didn't damage it. And this is the second start in a row that we've seen this really high strike rate and good CSW on Jack Flaherty's four-seamer. A little shocking. It was 91.7, not 93+, right? That's what we want to see with Jack Flaherty, 93+. Sometimes he gets up to 95 in the past. 91.7 is kind of strange. He might have just been kind of taking it easy, I guess, but the curve was still fantastic at least, and that's good. But I'm just weirded out because generally Jack Flaherty is supposed to be super high CSW on both the slider and the curveball. And then the four-seamer hoping to get called strikes and not allow too many hits in play. We're not really seeing that. It's a weird mix. And the Cubs are next. I'm a little terrified. A little bit. I'm still going to do it. I'm going to put him in probable start though. Dustin May against the Mets opposite Paul Blackburn had an interesting one. And I have a few things to say about Dustin May and a couple other guys from last time. We had a short slate of games. We're going to talk about all of them after this break. Dustin May against the Mets. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks in, 5 Ks. We're super happy with this. We really are. Just 5 whiffs, though. And something that really bothers me watching Dustin May is that he does not have really good command. He is a strike thrower, which is good. 65% strikes on the sinker, the cutter, and the sweeper. That's great. I'm super happy with that, but those are not sinkers on the edges. Those are not sweepers consistently down. Those are not cutters that are jamming batters constantly. It's a lot of just over the plate, and I hope this works. And from the past that we've seen stuff pitchers who just kind of aim middle with the glove a bit, it generally does not stay at a high level. That said, he does get St. Louis and then the Giants and then the Nationals and then the Rockies in course, but still that could be 4 wins theoretically. I am a little weirded out by the Nationals though, because he is going super sweeper heavy against lefties. And I feel like the Nationals just showed us what's fought, like how they can actually hit right-handed batters. But long story short, Dustin May, the sweeper. Yes. It looks so nice. He only had 5 whiffs total. That one whiff that we saw. Oh my gosh. It was so good. It was just 1 of 5 whiffs on 88 pitches, and he's still hittable. 6 hits here in 2 walks. So the sinker's not at 97 plus. It's at 94, 95. He's not locating it super well, and the cutter isn't taking off in a way that I want it to in order to encourage those whiffs. And really, the four-seamer can be one as well if he locates it upstairs with a really flat attack angle, but it's not. So we're still working on Dustin May, but I'm slowly getting more involved because he does have a nice schedule now. So yeah, I mean, he's a hold in 12 teamers at this point. Brady Singer against the Brewers, 5 innings of 3 earned runs, 7 base runners, 4 Ks, got the loss. There wasn't much to salvage in this. I mean, 4 strikeouts, I guess. This was also Milwaukee, and Milwaukee is not very good offense. Here's the thing. Brady Singer is typically double digits called strikes on the sinker, double digit whiffs on the slider. The very beginning of the year, I had more excitement because it was four seamers and cutters actually getting involved, and that was cool. But no, there was those 2 pitches here. Fine. So then you got to have both of those things, right? Well, no, we didn't get that. 5 whiffs, just 5 on the slider. Sure, we got 5 on the sinker too. Okay, so we got 13 total. But no, this is supposed to be slider dominance, and we have not seen slider dominance for a while, okay? 5 over 45 is not it. And now he gets Arizona and the Tigers and then the Cardinals and the Yankees. I do not want to hold on to Brady Singer. I am moving on completely. Be terrified about that. Germán Márquez, by the way, got a dusty donut with a win. Oh my gosh, you got a win. The Rockies got their 10th win, guys. Oh my gosh. I think it's the 10th. Maybe the 11th. I think it's the 10th. 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. That is a dusty of dusty donuts. Let's blow that off there. Okay, 49% strike rate on his most thrown pitch. That is 42% usage of curveballs. But he had 8 whiffs on it. He got through it. Congrats, Germán. You did it. They should like celebrate every single win dramatically. You know, it should just be a whole event. And I would be so down for that. Just embrace the fact that you guys are not having a good season. Just really get into it. You know, Joe Ryan got squeezed by the umpire, especially in that last inning. He should have struck out the batter, got a single, then got to a 3-2 count, and then allowed a 3-run homer on a, oh my gosh, 96 up and in 3-2 pitch to Lawrence Butler. I gotta say, this was the last pitch of the, or the second last batter of the fifth for Joe Ryan. 4.2 innings there at that point, and it ended with 5 innings of a win, 4 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. But, I mean, it could have been 1 earned run pretty easily with a 5th K and 1 fewer hit or 2 fewer hits. The whole thing here is just, don't worry about it. He got squeezed. Okay, cool. Awesome. Joe Ryan is dope and makes us feel dope outside of that weird game. Max Meyer got rocky road and he still couldn't make it work. 5 innings, 4 runs, 10 hits, 1 walk and 5 Ks. No. It's so painful. But no. Tyler Anderson against the Red Sox in Fenway. 4.1 innings, 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks and 5 strikeouts. 15 whiffs. Because his changeup is still dope. 12 over 35 whiffs on that pitch. It's just about the curveball, sorry, the cutter and the four-seamer avoiding damage. And it didn't do that a ton here. So there you go. He gets the Mariners next. That could work. It's not in the T, so it's in LA. Not really a big fan of that, but Tyler Anderson always has that chance because of that changeup. Jonathan Cannon, well, it takes 4 to 6 weeks of shipping time to get more cannonballs, so we can't really do the 18-12 overture for a little bit more time. Maybe I can get expedited shipping against the Royals this week for Jonathan Cannon, but it wasn't good against the Tigers. Of course not. 3 innings and 5 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 5 A's. Blah, 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 blah. You don't want to do Jonathan Cannon. Richard Fitz, this is a funny thing. I did the list yesterday, as I always do on Mondays, the top 100 starting pitchers, of course. And this one, I had him off the list because he only threw 44 pitches in the previous one. But then I got word from Eric Samulski during the podcast. Hey, look, Nick, Richard Fitz is going to go 75 to 80 in this game against the Angels. You should actually have him on there because then he gets stretched out. Even though he gets Yankees twice after, he might like it enough and et cetera. So fine, put him in. He went 1 inning, 5 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 0 Ks across 39 pitches. Well, all right. Yeah, you don't want to go for Fitz now because he gets the Yankees twice. He had a meatball of meatballs of a fastball down the middle to Mike Trout. 3 home runs in that game. Yeah, the whole thing is just not what you want from Richard Fitz, so we don't do that. Also, by the way, I see Market 8, dude, mentioned that Paul Blackburn is going to the bullpen. Thank you for letting me know that one. I did not catch that. I apologize. I do think that Paul Blackburn might get an opportunity at some point again, though. So monitor that with the command. I gotta say, if he's having that command, were they really moving to the bullpen? Just move Tyler McGill to the bullpen. I know, I can't believe I'm saying this, Paul Blackburn over Tyler McGill. But right now, I do not trust Tyler McGill. I just really don't. And he is made for the bullpen. And I've tried so long to get on the Tyler McGill train. And Eno Saris, who's texting me right now, and I have this whole joke of like, he just finds us. But he will not ever have the command that we want and the slider that we want and the whole thing. So, yeah, I prefer Blackburn right now, I guess, of like, hey, I can understand how it would work and at least he makes more sense. Long story short, you don't go for either one. Okay, cool. Anyway, past Richard Fitz, we're going to go to the last one, which is Luis Severino. And yeah, you don't want to start guys in Sacraverde, right? That's why I call it Sacramento. He went 5.2 innings of 800 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? He was singled out. He didn't allow a home run, believe it or not. 97 pitches, 5.2 innings. He had a really bad inning. I believe it was 6 runs from the Twins. Fine. But, like, you don't really want to start Severino in Sacramento, you don't really want to start him against a good offense. So it's pretty much, what, 20% of the time that you would start him? Yeah, okay, that's a streamer best. So you don't want to do that. That is it for today. Make sure you monitor the whole Sawyer Gibson Long thing. If you haven't picked him up yet, you need to do it. I've been saying in the preseason that he is one of my biggest sleepers for this year. His extension is elite. Yes, I don't know how healthy he is, and that is the biggest concern. But 12 teamers, you need to be taking at least a spec add on Sawyer Gibson Long. There's also Mick Abel this week, which is going to be really exciting too. This is a fun, fun week of a lot of interesting upside guys. You have like Zebby Matthews. We have the determination of Kyle Harrison and Landon Roop and Hayden Birdsong because Verlander should be coming back soon, but there's only so much space in that rotation. What are they going to do? It's probably Harrison as of right now getting the outs, but he shouldn't because I think he's the most sustainable guy with the fastball. I don't know. We'll see. We'll have all these information, all these answers and more by next week. So enjoy it. But thanks so much for listening to this one. Thank you for leaving ratings and reviews on iTunes and Spotify. They go so far for us. So really, thank you for doing that. I can't express it enough, but that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.